You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Without question, I think the order to allow the raid on Mar-a-Lago on Trump's house has to be revealed. I think we have to know, you know, under what pretense do they think this is right. I think it's going to have to wait till November till there's a full investigation. And I've never been a fan of overusing impeachment, but I think there has to be an investigation. And if it warrants it, there's going to have to be a look at whether or not the attorney general has misused his office for political purposes. Have they gone after a political opponent? I mean, this is beyond the pale. No one would have ever imagined before that we would be using, or one political party would be using the FBI to attack their political opponents. Now, this is really something that's going to require investigation, and I wouldn't be surprised if the investigation leads to abuse of power, that this could even lead to an impeachment of the Attorney General.
That is Senator Rand Paul. This is August 10, 2022. And what he's saying is, yes, there could certainly be an impeachment of the Attorney General if an investigation can prove that he authorized the FBI, weaponized them to carry out this raid when all they had to do was send a subpoena. And Trump was already cooperating with delivering records to the National Archives. But the decision was made, let's stage a raid. A raid, it gets a lot of attention. You got armed FBI agents showing up, going through the house. They went through the house entirely. Not just his office, not just cracking open his safe, which was empty. They even went into the former First Lady's clothing closet. I don't know, maybe a couple of FBI agents were looking for something for one of their spouses, or maybe a female agent was looking for something. I'm not accusing the FBI agents there of stealing. I'm just pointing out, why would they bother looking inside the closet? Oh, there might be something hidden behind all those beautiful dresses. The repercussions from this are going to be everlasting, just like the January 6th event was. Some are saying this is actually tied to January 6th, that they're looking for some documents he's withholding that might show that, yes, he gave the order for January 6th, the riot at the Capitol, which, again, I will say repeatedly, just in case you don't get it, I was against it the day it happened. I called it out as wrong, unpatriotic. Those who battled police officers protecting the Capitol should be charged and arrested. And those who simply walked in after the Capitol was open and not knowing what was going on, they should not be charged. I don't want to go down that road entirely all over again. But I'm telling you that when we hear that many of the Democrats talk about democracy, how many of you heard come out and say this raid was wrong? Actually, there are a couple who say, we need to know about this. Because if this was wrong, we cannot allow that kind of abuse of power. Because maybe the next government in charge would do it even more so. We're going to get into that in more detail. And then, of course, who knew and who gave the order? A lot of things still to be resolved. And they have been really not making a big deal about the judge who signed the subpoena. We will. And also, again, we have the mayor of New York and D.C., complaining, we can't have any more busloads of illegals. My God, they're overflowing us. They're getting maybe 8,000 total so far. That many cross the border daily down anywhere along the border. And we're also going to take a look at the lie about how this 87,000 tax agents are going to be used. The White House says they will not be going after the middle class. I've got an economics expert says, yeah, that's where they're going to target primarily. And diversity training to try to teach CRT to your kids, that's ramping up again as we go into the school year. You need to know about it. But I'm also going to try to share with you a great heartwarming story. Concern and sportsmanship. This is the kind of story I wish we all would embrace, not only in watching, but joining. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're learning new details about the FBI's extraordinary raid on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago property in Palm Beach. Law enforcement sources tell ABC News that 45 minutes before the FBI showed up, the local FBI field office in Miami gave the Secret Service team in Mar-a-Lago a heads up. The sources say the Secret Service agents did not notify anybody on the Mar-a-Lago staff until just as the FBI agents were arriving. When they did arrive, the FBI agents were escorted into the property by the Secret Service. Sources close to Trump say the club's general manager then placed a call to Eric Trump, who alerted his father. Neither Trump nor any members of his family were there at the time. In his written statement, Trump said the agents, quote, even broke into my safe, which Trump sources say is located in his office at Mar-a-Lago. Sources say the FBI remained at the property for most of the day. Other than his written statement, Trump's only public comment was a muted one when he called in for a Sarah Palin campaign event.
Another day in paradise. This was a strange day. You probably all read about it.
And the White House press secretary says President Biden knew nothing about it.
The president was not briefed, was not aware of it. No, no one at the White House was given a heads up. No, that did not happen.
Well, I would ask you to raise your hand if you believe and accept the White House response, but I'm afraid if you're driving, you might lose control. No, you wouldn't, because you're not going to be raising your hand. Do you really believe the White House had no knowledge of this? Not even the slightest hint? Not even maybe at least 30 seconds before the FBI agents went in? Maybe 3 seconds. Do you think they had no knowledge whatsoever? No one at the White House knew anything. And according to the White House spokeswoman, the president didn't know anything. In other words, I washed my hands of this. I had nothing to do with it. Those of you watching right now on Rumble.com, because we are live streaming, yeah, that's what I'm doing. You see what I'm doing. Thanks for watching. I don't remind the rest of you, we are live streaming all the programs on Rumble.com. You can watch them live. You can subscribe and get them immediately. And there's no charge. You can also hold them and share them with others. Same thing with our podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. So here's the White House again insisting we knew nothing. Well, you know, there are some things I would accept that on. They know nothing when it comes to a lot of things. But on this, I have a difficult time believing they were totally in the dark, even that Joe Biden had no knowledge whatsoever. I'm waiting because at some point, just as we have seen during the Obama administration, there will be somebody coming that had came into the room and shared some information with him, as they were doing when Obama and Biden were together in the White House, and they were sharing information about what they were going to do about Trump, and they said they had nothing to do with it, but in fact, they did know about it. So it will come out at some point, but based upon that, and the rest of the lies we get from this White House on a constant basis, which, by the way, the latest is the inflation rate is zero. That's zero. That's a lie, what I just told you. But I'm quoting President Biden. You'll hear from him later before we wrap up today. But Larry Kudlow, Fox Business, he served at one time in the White House. He said, my reaction to the White House denying all of this?
I do not believe them. No, I don't have any direct evidence. But from my experience as a former senior White House staffer, a major impact action like this from the Justice Department more than likely would have been cleared at a minimum or would have been made known to the Chief of Staff and the President's Counsel at a minimum.
At a minimum.
Get my gist.
At a minimum. That doesn't mean they had to be informed of everything, but at least at a minimum. And he's been there. He knows. Now, he admits, I have no evidence of this particular case, but based on the way things operate, you really think something like this would be carried out against a political opponent the president might face in the future without him being told? Now, you could say they didn't want to involve him. They want hands off so he can clearly, plausibly deny. Maybe so, but that doesn't mean that no one in the White House was not informed. In fact, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky again, basically, who did know?
I think the director of the FBI knew, absolutely. Do I think the attorney general knew? Absolutely. I can't vouch for how far it went up, and they may have tried to keep the White House at arm's length, but I wouldn't be surprised if the White House knew. But I can tell you I'm not surprised with Christopher Wray. I've challenged him before on whether or not it's constitutional to allow foreign intelligence warrants to be used against Americans. You'll remember when they spied on Trump to begin with, it was a foreign intelligence court and warrant. This is not really the same constitutional standard as the Fourth Amendment. And so they don't have to prove probable cause. And it was a terrible thing that we allowed to happen in our country, and it should never be used against a Republican or a Democrat candidate. But he allowed that and agrees with that. So I'm not surprised that he also would allow something like this to happen. But this is, it's demoralizing for the country, and it takes away so much faith in our law enforcement to say, oh my goodness, they're going to use the FBI to go after people they disagree with politically. This is a sad moment for our country.
It is, and there is evidence of that in the past as well. During the Obama administration, that would involve the IRS. Yes, the same IRS, which is going to have 87,000 more agents. But they say, well, they're not going to be coming after you. I've got a guest coming up later in this hour and said, yeah, I wouldn't believe that. But you do recall that Lois Lerner and her rogue agents, for anyone who had Tea Party in their name, or MAGA, or conservative, or even Christian, and they were seeking a 401 designation for raising charity money and getting charity without being taxed for it. You remember that? A lot of those got backlogged. They just couldn't seem to get to those if they had Tea Party or Trump in them or conservative or even Christian. They just didn't get to those. So they were already weaponizing the IRS as to who they were going to try to control on who would be allowed to raise money under a charitable donation, 401k, not 401k, but under a charitable donation. Now, when I say there are some Democrats that also want some answers, and the reason they would want the answers is because they do fear what could happen in the future. If not Trump in 2024, or Santos in 24, or whomever for the Republicans in 2024 winning, they're worried about then and beyond, which they have a good reason, and you should too. This is not the way our country should be run. Jonathan Carl, reporting for ABC, said, yeah, there are some Democrats. They want some answers as well.
Yeah, this is coming not just from Republicans who are supportive of Trump. This is coming from people that have been quite critical of Trump, including Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, one of his most prominent Republican critics, is calling on the Biden administration to release all the documents justifying this raid. And he offered a warning, David. Listen to what Larry Hogan said. He said, if the federal government cannot ultimately provide overwhelming evidence that actions were absolutely necessary, then it will only undermine faith in democracy and the rule of law and further divide Americans. So that a warning coming from somebody who has been quite critical of Donald Trump.
The Attorney General has yet to say anything. The FBI Director Christopher Wray yet to say anything. Now it is clear, some are saying, look, if Trump wanted to release the subpoena, or rather the search warrant, he could certainly do so. He has it. Or his lawyer should have it. They may or may not have the actual affidavit supporting the search warrant, which would supposedly justify why the search warrant was given. Which brings us to the judge who signed off on the search warrant, something you're not seeing on the state-controlled media. And I was kind of digging into it yesterday while we were on the air, but I didn't have time to nail it down and precise so I could be accurate with it. I don't like giving half-truth to you. But now I've got it here in front of me, and the Bruce Reinhart is now a U.S. Magistrate Judge for the Southern District of South Florida. He's the one who authorized a sealed warrant, likely used by the FBI to target Trump with that unannounced raid, according to the New York Post. Now, I give them credit or blame if they're wrong. I want to give you the source, but it comes from the New York Post. And they point out that before Reinhart became a judge in 2018, he spent 10 years in private practice, focused on white-collar criminal defense, complex civil litigation. During those years, he represented Epstein, the one who killed himself. Oh, maybe not, Epstein. Anyway, represented his pilots, the woman who scheduled a lot of things, another woman who was often referred to as Epstein's Yugoslavian sex slave. And at the time, he apparently worked in the same suite where Epstein's criminal defense lawyer worked. And he also apparently gave $2,000 to $4,000 or more dollars to the Democrat campaigns, Obama campaign. I think he might have even given some to Santos, $500 to one of his campaigns. That's the guy that signed off on it. He's clearly... Now, I withdraw the word clearly, but he obviously has relations that they're just not making a big deal out of, and you would want to know why, wouldn't you? I would. Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, said, this is just reinforcing that despite the many good men and women of the FBI, the agency under this current leadership cannot be trusted.
This happens at a time when there's already immense distrust in this institution, and that what that institution needs to do more than anything else is to try to regain that trust. And when you do something like this, it feels like the opposite, because look, what little we know about this raid is that it's over documents. It's over classified documents that were improperly handled. And perhaps that's true. But the thing is that's easy to resolve via a subpoena. You can subpoena Trump, ask him to return the documents. He's already cooperated with, I think, 15 other boxes of documents that were taken from the White House. This isn't something that requires this big, fanciful, dramatic raid that they know will get a lot of attention. And so it feels extremely politicized.
And certainly grandstanding, doesn't it? Now, as a result of that, there have been online vague references and other places as well that target FBI agents around the nation that maybe you should hold them responsible and maybe target them and their families. I'm directly against that, and so is Congressman Crenshaw.
Well, I think that's unacceptable, but it was also unacceptable that the AG refused to provide protection for our Supreme Court justices when they were not only receiving threats, but someone actually showed up near Brett Kavanaugh's house with the intent to kill him with a weapon. You know, they weren't so concerned about it then. So that's, you know, that's a little bit frustrating there. Look, people are really angry about this entire thing. They've seen a pattern with the Department of Justice, and it didn't just start with Biden. It started with Obama. Remember, Obama or A.G. Holden said that that he was Obama's wingman, right? That was an overt statement that said that they would politicize the Department of Justice.
Yeah, that we would politicize it without saying it directly. The White House, in the meantime, urging everyone to remain peaceful. We would ask Americans to remain peaceful. That's according to the White House press secretary. The White House making it clear President Biden opposes any violence. No place for political violence in this country. Unless you're BLM or you're Antifa, apparently. Or you're anti-pro-life and you go after abortion judges or pro-life judges, I should say. And coming up, all those illegals going to New York and D.C.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Speaking of pretty woman, I think of Melania Trump, obviously. Beautiful woman, always elegantly dressed when she was in the White House and elsewhere. And the raid at Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago by FBI agents, there are reports that in addition to searching through his office, they combed through Melania Trump's wardrobe. This is according to the New York Post. FBI agents scoured her wardrobe, spent several hours combing through the private office, breaking open the safe, so forth and so on. But going through her clothing, what was the intent for that, I wonder? Maybe just someone looking for some name brand clothing that they could buy off market somewhere or take something. I'm not suggesting they took anything. I'm just wondering. Now, here's a question for you. If you were a sanctuary city and you tell illegals, you come to our city, we will take care of you, would you not welcome busloads of illegals that want to come into our country, into your city? Yes, but no. And we're seeing the perfect example of that now with what's happening in D.C. and New York City. Remember, Governor Greg Abbott started loading up buses and saying, we're going to help these illegals get to the northern territories, because every state is now a border state, and they were loading up busloads of border crossers, illegals, and sending them busload after busload to D.C., something like 4,000 to 5,000 already. That's a small number compared to those massing across our border on a daily basis. But suddenly, Mayor Bowser, after supporting the D.C. sanctuary city policy, which shields illegals from arrest and deportation, and now posting on her, well, actually then posting on her social media, she will not let the residents of D.C. live in fear. We will continue to be a sanctuary city. No, not so much. She's upset with all these illegals coming up there. And she says, this is wrong. We're at a tipping point. We've had We've had so many buses show up. You haven't had a fraction of what's crossing our southern border. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, there's another blue state and a blue city. Oh, we will be a welcoming place for illegals. Well, he doesn't like it either. So what he's doing, he said, I'm already called all my friends in Texas and told them to cast their vote to get rid of that governor because of what he's doing. And I'm contemplating taking a busload of New Yorkers to go to Texas and do some good old-fashioned door knocking to get him out of office. And in fact, he's also thinking about maybe we'll put some of the illegals on buses and send them back. You see how fast the hypocrites come to the top? These are the same ones, of course, who decided it's okay for illegals to come across our border. We don't need no stinking border. Let everybody come in that wants to come in. But not in my backyard. This gets back to the very thing I made over and over repeating when Trump was in office. For all of those who are so concerned about the humanitarian issue, you're ignoring that the drug cartels are abusing these people on the way, especially the children. You're forgetting the fact that once they get here, those children might be turned over to sex slave dens. You're forgetting that many might be in slavery forever trying to pay off their debt to get here. You're forgetting all the abuse and torture they suffer. And then you're forgetting that when they come in, they're coming across the southern border in the states and putting hardships on those communities. But you and your lofty, nice, ritzy house in D.C. or in your penthouse in New York City, you're not bothered so much because they're down there and I'm here. And even in California, where they can walk across, and that's a sanctuary city and state, they could have opened up their homes for a lot of the illegals that needed housing. They could have lowered the gates over the moats at their big mansions and let them at least camp out on their yard. They could have put dozens inside their garage and had better accommodations than where they left. But see, humanity for the Democrats only extends to the point of, will you vote for me? Oh, you did vote for me? Good, we're done. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Speaking of being done, this IRS idea that you won't be taxed, we're going to unveil that's a lie.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is a economics expert for the Heritage Foundation, Joel Griffin. Glad to have you with us, Joel.
Hello, thanks, Larry. Great to be with you.
Make sure you can hear me. So what was your first thought when you heard the other day that the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, I'm sorry, I can't say it without throwing that word in there, the Inflation Reduction Act was going to employ 87,000 more IRS agents? For what purpose, you think?
Well, disappointed but not surprised. And we know for what purpose these 87,000 agents are going to serve. They're going to be staking down middle-class families and businesses. And we know that by looking at who they're auditing right now. If you're a small S corp or sole proprietorship, you are more likely to be audited than if you're running a big corporation. And if you're somebody with less than $75,000 worth of income that you report in terms of AGI, you are more likely to be audited than somebody who is making millions. This is a shakedown of the middle class And the shakedown money is going to go to the green energy companies, the big chip manufacturers, and a bunch of other cronyist spending. It's very perverse.
Now, you mentioned that if 75,000 amount. Now, just yesterday, there's analysis by the House Republicans. I assume that you're referring to that and you agree with it, that they estimate Americans who earn 75,000 per year are slated to receive 60% of the additional tax audits.
Yep, that's exactly right. 60% of those audits are likely to hit those with reported income of under $75,000. At Heritage Foundation, we're estimating that if you earn between $50,000 and $75,000 of HCI, that on average, you're going to end up paying about $2,000 per year. And what's even more stunning is if you're in that under $50,000 category, you don't go unscathed either. As a result of the shakedown effort, you're likely going to be paying about $1,000 more per year. And, you know, I think it's important to keep in mind that even if you are paying your taxes as required, it's hard to figure that out, right? Tax code. But even if you are doing everything that you need to be doing, if you get audited, talk to a small business owner that's gone through it, you can so easily spend $20,000 to $30,000 just in attorney's refund of that.
Yeah, these folks
pay that no matter what.
Yeah, these folks don't have attorneys on standby on a retainer on a regular basis for this kind of thing. Now, on Squawk Box, NBC, one of the White House Council Economic Advisors, Gerald Bernstein, said the other day, said, "I don't expect increased audits on the middle class." And in fact, I won't be, he said, "I vow the newly expanded IRS won't be going after anyone making under $400,000, but said we can't guarantee nobody makes under $400,000 be audited." In other words, doublespeak.
No, I actually did laugh when I saw that clip because they tried to pin him down and saying, "Oh, you're saying no one under $400,000 is going to be a victim, basically, of these audits." And he had to correct himself and say, "No, that's not the case." And they can talk about their intentions all they want. And then the fine print actually says this isn't intended to go after anyone making under $400,000 a year. But that's not what the law says. And if you look at what the current auditing process is, it's incontrovertible. Most of those audits are going to people making well under that $400,000. In fact, like you represented a second ago, most of those audits are actually targeting people under $100,000 annually.
Now, tax avoidance is legal. Tax evasion is not. And there's a difference in the sense that, hey, if I don't have to pay, then I'm not going to pay it. But if the law says I have to pay it and I don't pay it, then I'm evading taxes. But sometimes when the IRS is involved, as you said, you're going to have to fight a full legal battle to prove I wasn't trying to evade. I thought we were following the law. Believe me, I speak of experience.
Yeah, I've known people as well that have gone through that audit process, and wow, and you're running a small business. You're trying to pay your employees. You're trying to keep the revenue coming in, and when you're actually fighting the billions of dollars worth of ammunition that the IRS has to come after you, it is incredibly stressful. You lose sleep. You can end up depressed. And I said, even if you survive the audit, even if at the end of the day they say, "Oh, you paid what you need to pay," well, you can still go bankrupt just from having paid all those fees. And like you said a second ago, the big companies, they've got all those folks on staff already. They can handle some of that extra work. It's still a hassle, but it can just stay a hassle. If you're a small business owner and let's say you're bringing in a few $100,000 worth of revenue and you're making maybe $60,000 or $70,000 profit on that, if you're paying those audit fees of $20,000-$30,000, if you're lucky, that's just a year's worth of profit, but it can be far worse than that. People have gone bankrupt as a result.
And they didn't do anything wrong. You're listening to Joel Griffith with the Heritage Economic Expert. I'm reading a piece that appeared in Christian Perspective written by Benjamin Gill, and it's titled, "An IRS Army of 87,000 New Enforcers and 700,000 New Audits on Middle-Class Americans." You agree with that?
Yeah, we're talking about doubling the size of the IRS agent force, doubling it. And so, you know, they're hiring all these agents. You would think maybe they try to hire some extra customer service representatives. I don't know if you ever tried getting over the IRS. It's
well, that's what they claim. Oh, you'll be able to call in and get somebody to answer your phone.
Yeah, you'll be able to more reliably expect a knock on your door coming after you to do a shakedown. And I don't think we should forget, too, where's all this money going? Right, it's going to those green energy companies, going to the new Cylinders of the world, the Rivians of the world, the Teslas of the world. They're going to be shaking down middle-class families and business owners to go ahead and pad the pockets of those folks and to pad the pockets of these chip manufacturers that already have billions of dollars, which is fine. Being wealthy is fine, but when you're shaking down middle-class families in order to hand over subsidies to them, there's something really wrong with our democracy.
You know, I'm glad you raised those points. I'm looking at a quote from the White House, one of the National Economic Council director, actually, Brian Deese, who said that the most, these are his quotes, the most important takeaway from the Inflation Reduction Act is that it puts us in a position where, quote, we can credibly commit that we will meet our climate goals by the end of this decade. In other words, green climate and meeting climate goals is really the main deal in the Inflation Reduction Act.
Well, there's so much wrong with what he said. Number one, even if that Inflation Reduction Act were to actually reduce our carbon emissions, even if we were to reduce our emissions to zero, it would have a 0.2 degree impact on our climate. And that's if the worst case projections are true. And I think the UN does not have much credibility to start with. So even if that were true, it's not going to do much to impact global climate. In fact, it'll do nothing at all. But what it will do is harm economic growth, and it'll harm just regular families. Think about what happened during the COVID shutdown. We saw a reduction in carbon emissions, and the left wing where they were celebrating it.
Yeah.
Think about how bad that was for us during that 2-year period. They want to do that each and every year. In fact, I was reading one of those left wing papers the other day, and they were saying that's exactly what we need. We need basically the equivalent of a shutdown every few years to meet these climate change targets. I mean, it's insane what they're trying to do to American families. They're trying to model us on what's going on in Europe. Talk to the Germans, right? They're paying three times the cost of electricity there. They're dependent on Russian energy imports. That's exactly what they have in store for us here. That's the whole point of it. Raise energy costs, centralize control in the federal government over our energy sector, and get this parasite known as humanity under control. That's what the radical left wing wants. And that legislation they just passed the other day, the Inflation Reduction Act, is a big, big step along that road to serfdom.
Joel Griffith with the Heritage Foundation is also quoted in the same article. It's your quote. If you look at the past, the audits disproportionately impact those that are middle class, upper middle class income earners. They're the ones who get targeted, which you've been driving home. And the Wall Street Journal made it clear this is a legitimate concern for the middle class.
It is a very real concern. I think even if you are paying your taxes, just to know now that you're going to be doubling or tripling your chance of getting an audit, just the stress of that alone can give people sleepless nights. Like I said, I've talked to friends and family that have been through this. It is no joke. And then you've got the power of the federal government coming after you. They've got unlimited resources, right? They have a printing press. They have unlimited resources to come after you, to sue you, to target you. It is the fleecing of the American taxpayer. And to think that we're going to go ahead and basically for every person that we have trying to guard our border, we're going to hire the equivalent of 3 or 4 new IRS agents to target American citizens. Something is really wrong with our system right now.
Yeah, you know, even the CBS News had reported earlier this year the analysis of IRS behavior proves it's already targeting average taxpayers on a disproportionate scale. Even before this, it was pointing out taxpayers making less than $25,000 a year. I dealt with that story to some extent yesterday. Making $25,000 or less a year, that's not a lot, and I pray for those to do better. They're probably suffering more, but they are audited 5 to 6 times more often than those above $25,000.
Yeah, well, and think about this. Even the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, they have they testified several years ago that basically 1 in 4 of these audits, those are going after S corps, and you know S corp. We have C corps, which are usually big companies, shareholders, multiple shareholders.
Right.
S corps are owned by
mom and pop
individuals.
Mom and pop, and things of that nature. Joel, I appreciate. I'm sorry. One final word from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's remember this is the administration that had to drop plans recently to basically peek into people's accounts if they had more than $600 coming into their Venmo account.
Yeah,
that's the administration
right.
That's going to be in charge of these 87,000 new Army IRS recruits.
Excellent point. Joel Griffin with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, Larry.
We'll do it again. Coming up, diversity and investment training and how they're coming after your kids again.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If I accomplish nothing else with this program, God willing, I'm going to do everything I can to help you protect your children from those who would prey upon them and push transgender ideology in front of them, or sex change in general, or sexual mores at an age inappropriate for them, or race relations and trying to divide them based on color of skin. I'm going to fight against that day after day after day as long as I'm on the air. That and against those who want to continue to just have an abortion. You go get your nails done, then go do an abortion all on the same day. Big deal. So the loss, first of all, there's a story I've got. I don't have time to get into great detail on this particular one, but a mother got a note from her daughter's fifth grade teacher. The teacher is a male, but called her daughter, a 10-year-old Jennifer, a different name. And mom thought, well, maybe it's meant for someone else. So she went to go talk to her daughter about it and said, do you have a nickname? And her daughter said, yes. And it was the same thing as the teacher was calling her. And then the daughter shared with her that the teacher had reached a point where he was wanting to ask her mom, is it okay on overnight campouts if your daughter sleeps in a cabin with the boys. Is that okay? Really? Now the L.A. Unified School District, of course out of California, preparing a lesson to teach children about privilege and intersectionality. I have no idea really what that even means anymore. Do you? I see people like Al Sharpton, Maxine Clark, Senator Warnock of Alabama, Stacey Abrams, all talk about privilege, and it looks to me like they've been pretty privileged, as have the Obamas and everything else. So I guess privilege isn't necessarily race-related, although they would have you believe it is. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to teach students and ending it by telling students to be a good ally. Understand your privilege. Then we have the National Association of Independent Schools, NAIS, instructing participants to disrupt schools and suggest those that hold dehumanizing views must be purged. This is video from a training which apparently involves the 2021 Diversity Producers Practitioners Institute. It was an online conference hosted by the Southern Association of Independent Schools, which is an organization that is part of the National Association of Independent Schools. The talk was titled, Set Up to Fail, Red Flags for Diversity Exclusive Professionals Working for Institutional Change. One of the programs called Teaching While White, trying to make teachers racially literate so they can answer questions like, how does investigating whiteness impact the identity development of white students? What are the best practices for making whiteness explicit in classrooms? The DEI professional director saying, when you're the director of equity, there should be nothing in your day that's holding the status quo. Your job, your job, is to shift power to those who might be impacted. If your school is attempting to become anti-racist, you have to turn over the power. So we're going to continue to have people in our school that create toxic environments. My question is why they're still there. So they're saying that they are basically going to instruct participants to disrupt schools and suggest those that are hold dehumanizing views must be purged. It's confusing after a while, isn't it? If it's confusing to you, imagine how it must be confusing to an 8, 9, 10, 12, even 14, 16-year-old. There's a study from a free speech organization called Speech First, found that universities now we're talking about, the higher level of learning, supposedly, that universities across our nation placed a greater emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion than free speech in the freshman orientation materials. They got through a FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act request, orientation for freshman materials from over 50 public college universities. A third of them mentioned free speech or viewpoint diversity. 90% did discuss diversity, equity, inclusion. Those that did mention free speech, there were seven times more orientation video material related to diversity, exclusive themes and free speech or viewpoint diversity. Speech First director said, these results are not surprising, but they should be shocking to the general public. He added, there's a serious concern because there's clearly a huge lopsidedness of how much universities are emphasizing diversity, equity, inclusion, anti-racism. In other words, when they're doing that, they're not really teaching. They're pushing propaganda. In the next hour, we're going to get more into the Trump raid and who's crying out and making noise about it. Not word from Mitch McConnell either. Nothing from Mitch McConnell. Senator Mitch McConnell. Why not? And also, I will give you something to smile about before we're done in the next hour. I promise you. This story, well, it might even make you cry to some extent. But it's going to be a good story. That's in the next hour. Stay with us, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.